It's May 2nd. I'm Brian Dean Wright, former CIA operations officer, and this is The Wright Report. Hey, good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Wright Report, your daily news podcast. We've got an update today about our ongoing series on the AI revolution. We begin with some good news about AI-powered home security systems that will act as your personal bodyguard, hitting thieves and burglars with paintballs and tear gas if they get a little bit too close. Next, the U.S. government just gave approval to a new system of drones for farms and ranches. Those will operate in swarms, similar to those used by the U.S. military. Third, an AI-infused robot is set to dig through your trash, and that'll make recycling a whole lot easier. Also, AI robots are tackling another dirty job that a lot of folks do not want to do, and that's butchering and processing the animals that we eat. We'll then pivot to the darker side of the AI revolution, focused on this. A principal in Maryland was caught saying some pretty racist things, his career nearly ruined, but it wasn't actually him. It was a deepfake. That cautionary tale coming up. Later, we end this morning's update by returning to the question of whether this AI revolution can actually take off. We will revisit why this entire industry is being hobbled, really, by the fact that the wind doesn't always blow. We'll explain the connection coming up. But first, let's get to our good news stories of the morning, although this first one is not so good if you're a thief or a burglar. It's a home security system called Eve. That sounds nice, but she is a brute. Here's how she works. Eve is a prototype that scans the faces of people walking on your property or inside of your home. And if they are allowed to be there, then Eve stays quiet as a church mouse. But if not, if those faces are not recognized by the AI-infused cameras that you've helped to train or install, well, watch out. The AI system offers the person a warning to leave, and a countdown begins from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then, if the person is still there, Eve announces, "You have been deemed non-compliant." She then launches paintballs and tear gas at the person until they leave. I should note that Miss Eve targets not just humans, also dogs and cats. The system can identify your authorized dog or cat, but if there's anybody else, she will fire paintballs at the alley cat or the stray dog that might come onto your property because they are an unauthorized visitor. Also interesting is this. Eve will notify the homeowner or the property owner of whatever intruder there might be, whether that be a human or an animal, and asks whether she can take a shot. But if you are unavailable, you can program Eve to take the shot on her own. She can make the call. Well, as highlighted by Fox News, though, that creates some ethical as well as legal concerns. For example, what if the system misidentifies your poor neighbor who, well, gets lit up by paintballs? Or what if it's a neighbor's child, little Timmy, who came over to retrieve an errant baseball or a toy that came over the fence? Also, what if a paintball takes out the eye of a neighbor's dog or a cat? Who's responsible for that pet's follow-on care, either legally or financially, what have you? Well, those issues and a lot of others will be debated between now and whenever Eve goes on sale. The prototype should be available at some point this year, maybe next. We should know by June. Until then, well, you'll have to fire the paintballs at your neighbors and cats all on your own. So, good luck. Next, we move from the home to the fields of America. The Federal Aviation Administration has given authorization for farms and ranches throughout the country to begin using swarms of drones. The company is called Helio. They got the green light to do this, to sell their drone sprayers. They will operate in bunches of three, and that had actually been banned until now. Three drones means that farmers and ranchers can cover their ground at about the same speed and scale as a conventional tractor that's pulling a sprayer. In fact, each drone can carry enough chemicals for about 50 acres per hour. So three together starts to make things a little bit more competitive in terms of aerial operations versus those that are on the ground. The benefits of drones, by the way, in other words, being up in the air, well, no soil compaction because there are no tires. And while the same is true of the old-fashioned crop dusters, drones can operate in more confined or difficult terrain at a lower risk because there is no human pilot to consider. There's also the issue of cost. A drone sprayer goes for about $50,000 a piece, or $150,000 for the whole system. And that may pencil out as being cheaper. All depends on the tractor and the sprayer that you use. Now, looking down the road, well into the future, these drone swarms are likely to get a whole lot more advanced. The companies involved are looking to add some AI-infused cameras that will look for and target some specific weeds or individual plants. That will cut back on spray bills and put fewer chemicals into the environment. Finally, the drones will someday be fully autonomous. The swarms will be able to scan and measure the fields on their own, determine the spray requirements, and after a top-off of the chemicals by a human, they will coordinate their spraying operations largely on their own. But thinking even bigger, ag conglomerates like John Deere are working for fully autonomous farms and trying to do that by the year 2030. In other words, everything will drive itself and everything will operate itself, from tractors to combines to drones. John Deere and others are working on this in no small part because of, well, profit, but also because of concerns about the dwindling number of American farmers and ranchers. The folks that remain on our farms and ranches tend to be in their late 50s and fewer overall. So bottom line, we may still have a lot of farmers and ranchers out there by the year 2030, but, well, they'll probably just have a few more robot buddies helping them get the job done. Next up, from the farm to the garbage dumps we go to talk about a job that not too many humans want, and that is digging through trash. Waste management companies are looking at a new system by a company called Zen Robotics. It infuses AI with cameras and robotic machinery to quickly sort through trash, identifying what can be recycled versus what needs to be buried or burned. One line of their robots, it's called the Heavy Picker, that can handle the bulkier items that we often throw away, like wood or metals. It comes pre-programmed with the ability to identify 500 different kinds of waste products and prioritize the ones of greatest ability that can be recycled. And it can do it pretty quickly. The Heavy Picker can process upwards of 2,300 items per hour. And then there's its cousin. It's called a Fast Picker. As the name implies, it's a little speedier. At 4,700 picks per hour, that is double its cousin. But this system, it's better suited for lighter consumer trash that you and I might leave behind after a meal or shopping. And the Fast Picker, by the way, is not only fast, but it is hardy. It is designed to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at local landfills, unlike a human who needs a rest or bathroom breaks, which, as ever, is the concern about the AI revolution. As we have discussed previously, if you combine the brains of AI with the body of a robot, the advantage and the importance of human labor starts to become a little less important and a little less advantageous. Now, in this case with trash, that's probably fine by most of us. That's not exactly a fun job. But if you expand this AI revolution out to lots of other jobs, you stand to have some pretty serious disturbances to the labor market and ultimately our cities and our society. So more on that to come in the months to come. But in the meantime, let's head back to the farm this morning and talk about our food supply for our next piece of AI news. Meat processors in the United States are hard at work this morning trying to replace the people that slice up the carcasses of beef, pork, and chicken that we eat. As Bloomberg News reported yesterday, these companies would very much like to automate the deboning processes that they go through. They've been exploring the use of robotics infused with AI and cameras, letting those smart robots pull off every bit of meat possible to maximize profits. Although it is not just profits that they are after, it's also about a reliable workforce. Because as folks probably know, slaughterhouse labor is difficult to impossible to find and keep for very long. It is mostly staffed by migrants and sometimes migrant children. So automating the process would be most welcome for these companies and frankly consumers as well, and probably more than a few workers. But as it turns out, automating these businesses and all that human labor at these slaughterhouses, it's a bit more of a challenging process than you might expect. So for instance, with chicken, Tyson Foods has been investing in some AI solutions for about 7 years now with only modest success. Their competitors at a company called Wayne Sanderson, they fared a little bit better. They now use robots for about 2/3 of their 1.3 million chickens that they process each week. But for beef and pork, automating the butchering of those animals, it's a little bit more difficult because of the size and the uniqueness of each carcass. Still, with advances in cameras and AI and robotics, industry experts think that over the next 5 years or so, we will see those production lines become a lot more automated as well. So in short, ladies and gentlemen, the robots are coming for us. I'm not sure, but they're coming, whether we like it or not. And in some cases, we'll probably welcome them, whether that be at our landfills or slaughterhouses. But nevertheless, it will interrupt the need for human labor, especially in this latter case of migrant labor. And that is going to affect the broader debate that we are having about immigration, certainly at our southern border, the illegal aliens. In fact, we should probably be having that debate right now. But that aside, big changes are coming, and in ways that we would probably expect, but gosh, in ways that are absolutely unimaginable, at least as of this morning. And with that, let's take our first break of the morning. For subscribers listening at rightreport.substack.com, thank you. Meanwhile, for my other loyal listeners, I offer you an equal thanks. Please do enjoy the messages that you're about to hear from the companies that I fully endorse and use every day. They make this podcast a reality. We'll be right back. For the past 5 months, I've been telling you about American Giant, and I am so proud to tell you about them, and most especially, wear their clothes, because they are made right here in America. I've got two of their hoodies, I've got t-shirts, socks, some joggers, and shorts, and every time I wear American Giant, I know that I'm wearing something very special. I feel the quality, the durability, and the pride that goes into each and every piece of clothing that they offer. And I promise you, folks, you are going to feel it too. And you are going to know that these products will last you for years. So go to American-Giant.com. And when you do, you are going to find a closet staple, I promise, for every part of your spring days. Plus, when you go to American-Giant.com, you are going to get 20% off your first order. Just use that promo code RIGHT at checkout. Again, go to American-Giant.com. Use that promo code RIGHT, of course, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, and get yourself that 20% off. And let's get this country going again, shall we? Let's make America giant. I am at 4 months in with Superbeats Heart Chews, and boy, am I happy. Just two little chews a day, and I get a shot of energy, plus performance and endurance. I take mine at breakfast, and then I am set for the day. Also, here's another great benefit. If you pair Superbeats with a healthy lifestyle, the antioxidants in these chews are clinically shown to be nearly 2 times more effective at promoting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. How great is that? So do what I did. Go to GetSuperBeets.com. That's BEETS.com. And use promo code RIGHT. If you choose one of their bundles, that is going to get you a 30-day supply of Superbeets for free and 15% off your first order. So go to GetSuperBeets.com, use that promo code RIGHT, and get your heart healthy energy that you need and support for healthy blood pressure too. You will be so glad you did. Welcome back to the Right Report. Let's continue with our briefs this morning with a pivot towards the darker side of the AI revolution. 4 months ago, a principal at Pikesville, Maryland, came to work after Christmas break to face a sudden and shocking allegation. Someone had allegedly captured this principal, a man named Eric Eiswirt. He was saying some very racist and racially insensitive things, anti-Semitic as well. Mr. Eiswirt is white, which is relevant in this case because, as he later told investigators, the audio is fake, or was fake, and he was likely being targeted by a black employee with these racial smears. Well, at first, Mr. Eiswirt's claims fell on deaf ears. He was suspended immediately. But as CNN and other press folks reported, police and school investigators began to change their minds when they looked more closely at the audio and the high school's athletic director. His name is Mr. Dajon Darian. Mr. Darian is black, and that is relevant here because he is a longtime racial justice advocate that did not get along with Mr. Eiswirt. And their disagreements came to a head just before Christmas when Mr. Eiswirt discovered that Mr. Darian was stealing school funds and passing them along to his roommate. The white principal confronted the black athletic director, who said, "Oh dear, sorry, it's a simple mistake." But That man, Mr. Darien, was very angry and very worried. So he made a deepfake of the white Mr. Eiswirth saying some terribly racist things and sent it anonymously to three teachers via email. Well, one teacher, apparently a fellow black activist, then shared it with a student, members of the media, and the NAACP. And from there, it went viral. Mr. Eiswirth was suspended. But when investigators did a forensic evaluation of the audio clip, they discovered it was altered. It had multiple tracks of an AI voice, plus background noise that made it appear as though it was secretly recorded during some private conversation. Well, once that was confirmed, the police issued an arrest warrant for Mr. Darien, but not because of the deep fake. That's actually legal under Maryland law. Instead, the guy was charged for theft, stalking, retaliation against a witness, and disturbing the operation of a school. But before the authorities could arrest this guy, he went to the Baltimore airport for a sudden flight to Houston. He was packing a weapon. Now, it is not clear if he was trying to run from the law or he just had an unscheduled vacation to Texas. Regardless, the gun tripped him up because he didn't pack it correctly. And when airport authorities were talking to him about that and they dug a little bit deeper about this guy, they found the outstanding warrant. And that was the end of Mr. Darien's adventure. He was arrested and he now faces a judge in the coming weeks. But in the meantime, the principal, Mr. Eiswirth, he is still not back on the job. As CNN shared over the weekend, two administrators have remained in charge of the school, even though the police and the school district know that the recording was and is a deep fake. Well, why is this man not on the job? That's not clear this morning. Black and Jewish parents had attacked him back in January for being a racist and a bigot. They said he could never return. So maybe that plays a role. I'm not sure. The deep fake left a deep scar. But regardless, Mr. Eiswirth is innocent. And we shall see if or when he gets his job back. Lost, of course, because of a deep fake and a vengeful social justice warrior. And that's pretty important, I think, for us this morning. It's a note of great caution about this AI revolution. More to come. Finally this morning, if that story frightens you a little bit and you might want to have a little bit more time before we rush into this brave new AI revolution and world, well, you might just get your wish. And that's because the sun doesn't always shine and the wind doesn't always blow. To explain that connection, let's refresh our memories with this next startling fact. To create a single AI-generated image, that requires as much power as it does to fully charge your phone. In other words, those AI servers that create AI products, they need a lot of electricity to operate. And to just underline the point, the AI bot called ChatGPT, that requires the same amount of electricity that's supplied to 23,000 homes each day in order to process the 195 million queries that that system gets in a single day. So that astronomical demand is only set to go up, by the way. In fact, the company that makes what's called the GPUs, the guts or the brains of these AI data centers, it's a company called NVIDIA. That company forecasts that there will be about $1 trillion spent to build out some new AI data centers over the next 4 years. In other words, folks, the AI revolution is going to get big, but to get there, it is going to need a lot of reliable electricity, which of course takes us back to the wind and the sun. As the Wall Street Journal and Bloomberg News highlighted for us this week and last, the so-called green energy revolution might just kill the AI revolution because the former cannot create enough electricity reliably for the latter. Case in point, in the United Kingdom this week, electricity prices swung wildly because the wind didn't blow on Monday, but then it did too much on Tuesday. Meanwhile, in Germany over the weekend, the exact same thing happened. Too much wind on Sunday, then too little on Monday. That caused prices to spike and the grid to strain. Well, of course, this exact same thing happens in the U.S. as well. Earlier this week, the U.S. government acknowledged that wind power was down for the first time in 25 years last year, despite a dramatic increase in new wind turbine installation. Why? Well, there was simply less wind in the Midwest. And this issue, ladies and gentlemen, of unreliable green energy, is leading the executives of AI companies, AI data farms, utilities, a whole bunch of folks to admit a very serious problem. In fact, as one senior official told the Wall Street Journal, quote, "The reality is we can keep adding renewables until we are blue in the face, but it won't be enough," end quote. And that is why, for the AI revolution to succeed, big tech needs natural gas, coal, and or nuclear power. But these tech companies in places like San Francisco, Seattle, Boston, and New York, which of course are run mostly by Democrats, these folks do not want to acknowledge this reality. As Microsoft's former vice president of energy said earlier this week, quote, "Nobody wants to be tied to the need for new fossil resources, but you can't throw this much data center capacity at the system and not have some degree of fossil fuel sources to support it," end quote. And that is why this former Microsoft executive is on the hunt this morning to help his tech colleagues find reliable electricity both nationally and globally. And speaking of, other countries around the world are facing this exact same challenge as well. I mentioned Germany and the UK just a couple of minutes ago, but it's also impacting places like India and especially China. That's because they are trying to power their own AI revolution, that's true. But also, their economy is saddled with this. They're trying to mine and refine the minerals that are key for the dirty green batteries, as folks know. They then have to charge those batteries once they are installed in things like electric vehicles. Plus, China and others are trying to build out some advanced computer chip fabs or factories, and those have major energy demands too. And so that is why, when taken together, thinking all around the world, we are getting feedback from The Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg News, Business Insider, and a slew of others who have come to this conclusion, friends. If nations want to keep their economies growing from the AI revolution to the dirty green energy revolution and beyond, they cannot rely solely or largely on wind or sun. They must continue to develop natural gas, coal, and or nuclear plants to just keep the lights on. And that is true even if those big Democrat tech companies would prefer that you and I not know the dirty green truth. More to come. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude this update on the AI revolution. As always, I will see you tomorrow, God willing. Until then, I leave you with the creed of every good spy and every wise American. They're the words from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Good day.